All right, welcome to the Swedish Junior Hockey Podcast. I'm Jacob Dahlin, the host of this thing. And today we have a French-Canadian, Pierre-Luc Rosset.
That's correct, Jacob.
Yeah, well, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jacob. It's a pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Scandlux, your home for Scandinavian luxury products for the U.S. market. You can find us at scandlux.com.
So let's start a little bit on, well, who are you? So the main topic that we want to talk about today is the USPHL Premier Club Hershey Cubs that you're involved with. But we want to talk about your background because you've been in hockey for a long time. But really how we got connected was originally through Verbero Hockey, and we just had Andy Sutton on that you kind of teed up for me. So thank you for doing that. And why don't we start with Verbero and talk about your role there, and then we go back into your hockey background, and then we can talk about Hershey Cubs.
Well, Verbero, I've been with the company for 4 years, and it did start really as maybe I create my own luck. You know, I had a little one man company in the past, focusing on high quality hockey stick, and it didn't really work well. It's hard competition, but always had the mission of helping people and whatnot. And one day I received a note from Andy Sutton, and I thought it was just like, why Andy Sutton's contacting me, you know? So we started talking, and I came in the company as a representative right away. With all the year I have in the hockey industry, all my relation internationally, Canada, USA, and overseas, I think it was an actual fit for me to reach out to people and my network to present Verbero. And I think it was just natural once again. And, I've been growing with the company. Andy really did me, great way to grow and get better at what I'm doing. And now I've been promoting to the vice president position with the sales. So it's a big honor for me and a great mission I'm on. And I'm going to embrace that challenge.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So let's start. So of course I have, normally when I do these podcasts, I have, of course, elite prospects up, everybody. But it's great because it gives such a good kind of talk track that is a little bit chronological, which works out pretty well. And then I have LinkedIn open, which also gives kind of a lot of background in there. But why don't we start off? Because so it says here on LinkedIn from Gatineau in Quebec, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So explain. So it's fun. This podcast have grown. I think we're coming up on almost 100 episodes, which is crazy. I'm gonna have to figure out who's gonna be number 100. but anyway, lots of different people are listening from all over different kinds of countries, and some from Canada, so they know where Gatineau is. But there's a bunch of people from Sweden or Europe that, you know, they know Canada, but they don't know, you know, the different parts of Canada. So it becomes this fun geographical discussion. So where is Gatineau?
Well, honestly, I'm going to make it easy for you guys in Sweden. Halfie, Daniel Alfredsson, was playing in the Ottawa Senators just across the river. So simple as that.
Is that a suburb of, well, no. So Ottawa is
it's Ottawa in Ontario.
Is in
the
Ontario.
Province of Ontario. Yeah, correct. Correct.
And
all Gatineau, it's in the province of Quebec, just across the river.
Yeah. How big of a difference is it in Canada between, this is not a hockey question, but the different provinces, is that like, so if you live on the cross the river in Quebec, does that mean, you know, lots of differences between Ontario just as a citizen?
No. I think, you know, I'm a Canadian, you know, we're speaking French in Quebec, obviously, but I think, we're in bilingual country anyway, but I don't think there's much difference. I think there's a great blend. I mean, the Ottawa Senator, for example, has a great, bilingual community and support. Yep. So no, there's no difference much. I don't think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about your hockey journey a little bit. You've got a For some reason, I only have your staff history open, so I need to find. Well, let's talk about you as a player.
I'm honestly, as a player, you may not have anything on Elite Prospect. There might be a reason there. I haven't played like major or any like top league in my younger age, but I really did start as a manager. Even back in high school, I was already into stats, into coaching, into like all that great stuff in management. I don't know why. I had a great IQ for the game. I grew up with the major junior hockey team with the Olympic. That was my eyes on the game, but I never been able to play. I was a shy kid. I was playing outdoor rink and I had a talent, but never been able to be coached by someone that really developed me. I'm born in 84. So back then it was play on the street, play outdoor at the rink for 4 or 5 hours per day. So I had a good shot. I had all that skill, all that IQ, but no skating ability. So that would kill my career.
Yeah, well, I think that's a unique part of this game, though, is that everybody has different journeys to where you are, and certainly people that have played in the take Andy Sutton as an example, who's got a unique background as well, but has played 14 years in the NHL, enables you to do certain things, but you've got a different path and have different experiences as well. So, all right. So let's start then with your, so how, talk about how you got into working in hockey or coaching, because you've been in a lot of different places, to put you in a position where you are now with Hershey Cubs. So how did you get started?
Well, honestly, it started a long time back. I think in 2002, I was living in Magog then, near Sherbrooke, where there's another like major junior hockey team. In Magog, we have a famous midget Triple A team with the Cantonier, and I started there as an 18 years old. I was working with the equipment. I was just an assistant. That was my really first experience, and then really nothing was going on. I was still a fan. I was working again towards my dream without not really a real direction really. And at one point I reached out to Yannick Perreault, who was running like hockey Tuttle Hockey in Sherbrooke, which is like an off-ice training development center. And I started working with Yannick Perreault, and I've been in relation with some great guys within the world of hockey, and I've been lucky around the along the path to work with several NHL former and active player. But yeah, it really started there. And then as you can see, there's the LNAH. The LNAH really gave me another eyes on the game, being a video coach there. There was a lot back in my time, a lot of NHLer, AHLer guys that were coming back from Europe. It may be unknown as a major senior league in Quebec, but there's a lot of talent in that league. It may be less rough nowadays than it was back then, but definitely as a young 23 years old, being on those road trip with those guy, it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I wanted to do well, but it gave me a great experience right away.
Yeah, and who was the head coach that you worked under? Who kind of got your who did you work with there and talk about that relationship?
Yeah, I think like in the LNH, I need to give the credit to Daniel Bissonnette. Daniel Bissonnette, when I called him, he was like, okay, meet me at the rink Friday, and you start that same night. And I remember, and Dan will laugh about it if he's listening to it, but the first time I'm coming in his office, I'm getting to the Léopold Dreilly Sports Arena in Sherbrooke, and I get to the office, and sit at Dan's desk, and I'm 23 years old. I really want to be there, so I'm kind of like nervous but excited at the same time. And I'm working with Dan's personal laptop for the team and so on. He go, kid, you do this, you don't touch my effing like laptop. This is my personal stuff. You do your stuff and you come back here and da da da. So I was like, okay. So get back on the to my position. I got I probably got coached like for a period or two, and like, I was a young kid, like used to remote with Nintendo or whatever it was. So like on a computer, just to break down a game, it came out like pretty naturally, and I became better and better, and then really trusted me. And at one point, during the season in Sherbrooke, I came in the office and some lineup and roster was on his desk, and I go like, "Oh, you got that guy." You go like, "How do you know that guy?" I said, "Well, da 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 da." And he goes like, "Okay, you know your stuff. Like you have an eyes on like players and all over the place." I'm like, "Yeah, this is what I love to do." And yeah, my relation did grow. Unfortunately, Dan got fired 6 months in, like nearly the end of the season. I didn't know what to do, and the following year, like he brought me in tit for mind with him, where I had like two amazing year, and this is another story. But yeah, it was amazing, and thank you for Dan Bissonnette for giving me that chance for sure.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked that is there's always these. I mean, we've all been in those positions where we have mentors and we have people, and like I can think about in my life, I can talk about those guys as well. But we talk about, life is like a game of Plinko where you put that little disc at the top, and there's inches, seconds, and circumstances that determines the path, or you don't know where that disc is going to fall, and sometimes it bounces this way and sometimes it bounces that way. And but if you don't put the disc in there, it's not going to go anywhere. And if you're
Yeah.
not if and you got to be there, and you got to put yourself out there. And too many people are afraid of putting their disc in there, and
Of
they get,
course. And yeah.
they're going to stay where they are.
Yeah. And I'm going to surf on that, Jacob. And this is great that you mentioned that, because there's a lot of noise to the one listening, either like whatever you are in the world, Sweden, Canada, wherever you are. Believe in your dream and never let the noise affect you, because people doesn't have the guts you have. So believe in your dream and go full in, because you may be called crazy, you may be laughed at, but you're gonna laugh last. So keep going.
Yeah, and don't get analysis paralysis of like trying to figure out everything, because you won't figure it out. And if you try to control it, sometimes you just got to roll with the flow a little bit and just jump in. And I think it's a good example of, you wouldn't be where you are today without having gone through those things. And you learn,
Exactly.
you're a lot better. You look back at the things you did early in your career, and you're like, yeah, in
Yeah.
reality, I really sucked at this,
Yeah, probably.
but you have to go through those learning steps. But it, so if we fast forward, so you've been working in a lot of different areas, both on the coaching and on the scouting side, and now you're kind of in you're in I mean your title is director of recruitment for Hershey Cubs, but where's your, and I know that you're strong in that networking and so on, but where's your passion? Is that kind of where your love is in the building the team, or you love the coaching as well?
Well, my passion is to help families and players with goal and ambition. Wherever you're coming from, that's my first real. Of course, the first real passion is hockey. But when you have that passion and you can help people and you see them develop on and off the ice, coming in Hershey, having that great staff, working with the Boudreaux family, having the exposure to pursue your academic as well. I mean, that's the best of both worlds. And I'm very transparent, and we are very transparent in Hershey. We're a nonprofit organization. We do this for the right reason, and it's to help and to make those family and player advance towards their next challenge and dream. And I think hockey really bring some glue to it, because some athletes that are a student may not be like that much of a good student if they don't have hockey, because hockey, it's kind of like, oh, you know what, I have hockey to motivate me. I know I need to do this. I know it's going to be good in life. So I think it's really important to have your academic, but hockey, the way we're offering it, it's great. So yeah, that's my first passion.
Yeah. So let's go in. I think it's exciting to talk about the uniqueness. Here's my There's so many USPHL teams out there, right? It's grown, it's exploded, and it's got its fits. I want to talk about the league, right? And because not a lot of people know, specifically in Europe, they don't know so much. It's hard to navigate what is USHL, what's the NHL, what's the NCDC, and then you got the Tier 3, which is, just for North America, it's pretty easy at the Tier 1, Tier 2, but Tier 3, it's just what are the differences and how does it work? And I think that it's very important to be aware of not every organization are built the same way, right? And I want to talk now about, let's talk about the league, and at the same time we can talk about how this team came about, and of course, and the ownership with the Boudreaux family and kind of how that came about, which I think is a, I mean, it's unique in a lot of ways, but you've been around in USPHL, so you've seen a lot of different
Correct.
organizations.
Yeah, correct.
So how do you explain when somebody comes from, you mentioned you were on the phone with somebody from Europe.
Slovakia.
Yeah. How do you explain USPHL to the European?
Well, first of all, to European market, what I would say, a lot of European would want to come in North America for all those leagues you mentioned there because of the NHL, because of the NCAA and so on. But there's so much there's limited spot for those international players to come play at the tier one, tier two in the United States, even the tier three under Hockey USA. The USPHL is coming in as an independent. We are really, I think the organization is legit. I've been within the entity of the USPHL for several years. I've been through a couple organizations, some better than others. We're not gonna lie, that worked the same way in Major Junior and so on. So that's what it is. But for the European and international player, the advantage is that there's no international transfer to pay. So you're always going to belong to your country and federation. So there's no headache there. Super easy to come in as a free agent. And you can have as many international player as you want within your organization. And if you select the proper organization for your kid and your own self as a player, well, you can get exposed. First of all, you're going to be able to develop. You're going to learn English, most likely, if you're not already like bilingual. You're going to get exposed to the ACHA and the NCAA to pursue your academic. Okay, well, I mean, it's called Tier 3. It's not sexy, but you know what? It's more than Tier 3. We have really a legit player coming our way. Exactly the reason why, it's because there's no limitation on any roster. So don't be kind of ashamed of coming play in the tier three level, because the mission is the same, and you're gonna find really strong competition if you land in the proper division with the proper organization. You're gonna have the best time of your life. So this is about the difference.
Yeah, and let's address that. I got, because I think you're spot on. The guy that is coming out of, let's take the Swedish player that has played J20 National and wants to play NCAA D1, right? They're not going to be looking at Tier 3. They're going to be looking at Tier 1 or Tier 2. And if you look at Glenn Heffron's freshman report as an example, there are, I've heard this phrase about league of destination or league of a pass-through league. There's players that are playing in the USPHL that will go to NCAA D1, but typically they're not going to go from USPHL into D1.
Correct. Yeah.
It's going to be coming out of, in North America, it's going to be USA, I mean USHL or NHL is going to be where they're coming from. But they may have gotten their start,
Well,
in
and
USP.
Jacob, not to cut you off here, and honestly, the USPHL, if you look at the NCDC, which is the National Collegiate Development Conference, you will have a few D1 coming
Yes.
out of the USPHL system. Yes, maybe more D3. Correct. That's fine. You know what? There's no shame to go play D3. That's amazing to play hockey and have your academic, right?
Yeah.
If we think about the USPHL Premier, you're gonna have like a plenty of Premier guy going to NCAA D3. because they're in really solid division. We
Yeah.
have the opportunity with the Cubs to play like in the Atlantic Division, which is like a really solid division, and we're right in the hot spot, not too far from all those hotbed, right? So I think there's real opportunity, and I'm not trying to sell like empty dreams. NCAA D3 is really potential for you if you're a serious player. We're not looking to have like any guy that plays hockey. We want hockey player to work with, right? Because we're a serious organization, and this is what we're looking for. But yeah, the opportunity is out there, and then the ACHA D1, and then if you want to go with the elite division, now you have the ACHA D1. And maybe a guy that got lost in the mix or that really bloomed that got like a NCAA D3 offer out of like nowhere. It does happen, you know? So, but that's about the system.
And I think the other part is, let's be frank about, so I have this conversation in multiple times within this podcast about being realistic as a player. So if there's a player listening at this, and everybody says, well, I'm going to play D1. Well, not everybody's going to play D1. There's only, so what determines that is really your true ability and talent and your level as a player. Not everybody's going to go to the NHL, not everybody's going to play AHL. So being realistic, we always talk about, when I was in coaching, about pushing yourself to try to strive to not be staying at the same level, but really trying to get better. That's progressive thinking and continuous improvement. But at some point, even in youth hockey, we talk about, well, all right, I'm really mad at this coach because he didn't pick me. Well, maybe he didn't pick you because, there were 15 players ahead of you that were better. And that happens all the time. So being realistic about where you really are, but that doesn't mean that there's not a place for you to be, and it could be that you started late. It could be that you are not 6'4", but you're 5'7", and that may be the reason why you're not playing in the NHL. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a fantastic time and you can still go to college, but your path may lead you into this area. So I think that, is there a place for USPHL? Absolutely. And I think that the issue here about, so I think the NA3 is now the only sanctioned USA Hockey sanctioned league for Tier 3 in US.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, I never really been part of Hockey USA or Hockey Canada. I think there was so much restriction and politic, to be honest. And I know like people will always look at Hockey USA as more prestigious than like us being like a non-federate hockey organization. But at the end of the day, I'm not selling any dreams. I've been in the part of the organization for many years to know that USPHL Premier would rival with NA3HL, no problem. We have NCDC that can compete against the NHL easily because our market is more like tight for the player. Instead of like traveling down in Texas, you're all like right in the hotspot. That's why the NCDC got created as well. So I think it's just a little of education for everybody around the world to really up on that opportunity instead of being ashamed of go like, oh no, I'm just going to play USPHL. Like, how many players have the opportunity to play USPHL or hockey and get like to develop and be in part of a good organization? Don't judge an organization that don't do their real job. Like, judge an organization within the entity that does their job, right? So at that point, we rival anything.
And isn't that the case too, though, that like in any, you can have the same thing in maybe not in the USHL. Well, actually, within the USHL, not every organization is as good as the other from an organization standpoint. We
No,
see it.
not even in the QMJHL. I've seen ownership being terrible in the QMJHL, even with my where I'm coming from. So it's really sad to see when people are not getting in the business for the proper reason. So.
Yeah. So this leads us to kind of now where you are now with Hershey Cubs, which I think has a, coming in with an ownership group that may look a little different, with a strong background that perhaps not every USPHL team has.
No, I think, the USPHL is appealing for former pro NHL guys. There's other like guy that play in the American Hockey League or the NHL or play back in Europe that coming back home that want to be involved. But yes, we're really privileged to have the Boudreau family and Bruce and Crystal and Brady being there. They're such an amazing family and human being. I'm really honored to be part of the Hershey Cubs. The organization really did start in 2021, and it's the first ever U20 team in the Hershey history. So it's on top of being director of hockey recruiting for the team, being the first one. It's the biggest honor, I would think. I'm taking it like very seriously. And once again, it's not for my ego. It's not for the title. It's for the family. And after what we came through with the world going nuts in the past years, I was like, I step away. And I was not coming back. I think I think it was like just a really sad time. And when Hershey came back, I was like, hey, if I'm coming back in hockey, it's in Hershey or I'm retiring. I was happy with Verbero anyway, but I really got interviewed by Hershey. They liked me. I got lucky. So now I'm rolling and I want to do good for them and bring a national championship and advance those players for sure.
Yeah, so talk about where in the world is Hershey and what's Hershey typically known for?
Oh, Hershey, well, it's the famous chocolate city in Pennsylvania. So, it's the destination for me. That community is unreal. It's more Hershey is more than just an amazing hockey program. It's Chocolate City is an amazing community. We have the American Hockey League Hershey Bears playing down the road, like 1 kilometer away from our rink, actually. So there's a great team. They're affiliated with the Washington Capitals there. So and Hershey, what is best about that is that everybody know you, everybody knows hockey. They're 15,000 plus the surroundings, so it's even more. But why I'm saying it's a good thing, it's because I like smaller community that way because it's brings such a different flavor to it. Like it bring. When you walk in Hershey, I've been in the, it's my 17th year this season. And the first time I walked in Hershey, no kidding, I had chill and I was like, wow, this is home. Okay, let's go. So yeah, this is amazing city for sure.
And so you mentioned that it was founded just so when how many seasons have you played so far? Two?
Three. It was our third season this season. I wasn't involved really in the first season because I got late and we have talked. I followed the team the first year, but I was not involved. The second year I came in, after being inactive, but I was like aware of what was the team, and so I got in. And really, this season was the first time bringing so many guys and turning the program around. A lot of respect for those pioneers that were there, to start the team. I think they have put the team on the map, and now it's for us to grow the program. And I think it's going well. 2024, 2023, just 2023, 2024, just end, and 24, 25 is already on. So it will be an exciting off season for sure.
And you have do you have two teams? You have an elite and a premier?
Yeah, this for the first 3 years we had only a premier. Now we're adding an elite team. The elite team really is for because there's a lot of hockey in the Hershey area, so we're gonna have a lot of locals being able like to pursue their career and have a real system to develop in and get exposed and have the same program as the premier. But the elite and the premier will have their own each locker room. They will have their own stuff. It's not like, oh, okay, we're gonna move your stuff so we can come in. No, we have it's the same structure, but both team have their own stuff. So I think it's exciting for the locals. And through the locals, we're gonna have like a great international player with key position to come strengthen our roster. So it will be very interesting to see how it develop, but and it's exciting move for the organization.
But no NCDC team at this point, right?
No, at the moment, not at the moment. The NCDC, it's I it may come. I think it may be in the ambition of the owner. I don't want to talk for them. But there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of structure to put around NCDC. There's a lot of money. It's a total free division. I know we have an amazing support already, inertia in the area, but the NCDC, it's another step. I know we can make it eventually, but we're not in a rush. I think we want to do the right thing the right way, to the right pace, to come and arrive ready when it's time for NCDC.
Yeah. And so let's see here. How is it divided up? So are you playing who what teams are you playing? Let me pull up here on the in the Premier, because you have divisions, of course, within
Right.
USPHL, because there's a ton of them. Here it is. Atlantic, Florida, Great Lakes,
We
Midwest.
play in the Atlantic. We play in the Atlantic division. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's which is kind of so there's a lot of there's tons and tons of USPHL premier teams all over the country, and they've exploded. And but the way, of course, I live in North Carolina, so you have the Hurricanes, and you got the Rush, and you got all those guys.
Hampton
Yeah.
Roads, Whalers.
Yep. So those are the ones, and which kind of helps in the economy of local travel, right?
Yep.
So in the Atlantic, let me pull that up. So
I
there,
used to be in the I used to be in the Carolina division.
yeah,
I worked for the Rush a little bit.
yep. And they're playing out of XI down here. So in the Atlantic, there's eight teams currently, and a lot of those guys, Junior Rangers,
Machine
Wilkes-Barre,
hockey machine, the Rangers this season.
yeah, yeah, 41-3. But a lot of these guys have NCDC teams, but they've been around
Yeah,
for a while.
correct.
Jersey Hitmen,
Correct.
I'm not sure about.
New Jersey Rocket.
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
know Pal Junior Islanders, they have it. Wilkes-Barre has it. I'm not sure about Brooklyn Aviators. Wow, they
No.
really struggled. Elmira Impact, do they? I don't think they have one, right?
No, we're the babies in the division, kind of. All those guys, all those teams, like, they're all established organization, and we're lucky to be in the Atlantic division. Well, it's our position on the map, but anyway, I mean, we have really, really great hockey being played in our division, no doubt.
Yeah.
And they all have a system too. I mean, we're coming with a system as well. We do not have like an NCDC per se, but all those teams we're playing, they all have NCDC, so our guys can be picked up and moved to the NCDC as well that way. So there's
Yeah,
no restriction whatsoever.
I was gonna ask about that. Is that if since you don't have one, you have partnerships with the other ones for advancement.
We used to have a partnership. I think we're kind of pretty free, like, in a sense that we don't have the NCDC. You have an NCDC organization that won one our player. I mean, you're a free agent, so our player can move around.
Yeah. And I mean, isn't that talk about that for a second, because I think that that's just the name. That's just how it works, is that players are going to come and go, and you want to advance them forward, and which is what the player wants. They want to play in the NCDC if they're playing in Premier, of course. So how does that you're since you're director of scouting or player development or player personnel, you're always having to find and recruit players, right?
Well, I think at that age there's so much like flow to the players, because it's a stage of 4 years maximum, so there's always new player coming in. And honestly, with the quality program we're offering, with the ownership, the city, and everything we have in Hershey, we have a lot of loyalty. Some guy could leave, but they're like, hey, I could go there, but the ownership and the situation is not the right one for me, so I'd rather stay at the premier level. So we have a lot of loyalty that way. But if a guy would have like an offer within during the season, hey, move, go, please do. It's no big deal. The same thing with us. If we see like someone in the elite and they're not picking him up for their premier team, hey, let's grab him. So it's a matter of how we want to manage our roster now, like the players that want to move, but definitely we're looking to them to move up and get to the next level. But don't get me wrong, I know like we're talking about like moving to the NCDC and so on. Yes, that's a great way to move, and especially you're gonna make your family save a couple bucks in the NCDC and so on. But at the same time, if you play Premier the whole way and you age out at 20 years old from the Premier, you can go at the NCAA, or ACHA, whatever. So you can do it that way too. But yeah, for sure, advancement is the key.
So let's go here next, and that's kind of the international, because you have been. How did you get, because you've been involved in the kind of the international scouting for a while. Why is that? I mean, why this French Canadian?
Honestly, the first time I left Quebec, I went to Northern Ontario with the Elliott Lake Bobcats. There was a lot of international players, a lot of Slovak and Czech player on that team. And I had a great connection with those guys. But I don't know. It was just a natural, once again, something that showed up on my path. And I was like, yeah, that's cool to help like guys from all over the planet. Why not? And that way, you can also build the roster you want. You can build with the human you want. Yes, the mission is always to develop and advance those guys to the NCAA or the next level, but you want to build your own team anyway, right? So it's nice to help, and help always been what I wanted to do. And I've been working with so many Swedish player, so many Czech, Slovak, Latvian, like Russian, like Polish player, from all over the place, really.
How do you talk about that? How do you, because the problem is you can't go into, let's take Sweden as an example. So many players are out there, and there's only a, the first thing is it doesn't matter how good or how bad they are, if they're not even interested in coming over. So how do you make that, how do you make that? 'Cause so you're not going to go over there and recruit, but it's all about advertising yourself and creating these contacts to be able to say, hey, I'm looking for the player that says, man, I'm interested in going to play in North America. So how do you build that network? Who do you work with? Because I've also found this is kind of a crazy thing in Sweden that a lot of the clubs are not necessarily, they're not really thrilled about losing players to the US. It's a weird mentality in Sweden. I mean, I get it, but they're, but I found, and it was frankly a little bit surprising to me that they are, you know, they don't like the whole, I think is a, I think here, let me go here. Sweden has a problem with the smart athlete that wants to go to college. That is a good hockey player because you really cannot go to college in Sweden and play hockey. It's very, very difficult because the university system could care less about, there is not, there's not this thing called a student athlete. It's a student that may be, that may play a sport, but what you find is that there's a lot of athletes that just says, well, I can't go to college at the same time. Especially if you're looking at playing at the third division, even the fourth division, division two, it's really, really difficult to be a student. So
It's a good league too. It's good level of hockey anyway.
it's a great league. But so for those players that come out of J20, even J20 region and specifically J20 national, to go play in the US or Canada, U Sports or NCAA, whether it's D1, D3, or ACHA. If they love the game, getting over here and getting an education is awesome, and you can do that while playing sports because they mesh.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Swedish clubs are very, very hesitant to promote that. So have you faced that in Sweden?
Well, I think it depends on the profile. Like me personally, I've been starting my networking for many, many years. So I have people of trust all over the world, to be humble with it. But Sweden or any other country, like there's player that will be interested for the right reason to come to North America. There's other Sweden and family that are gonna go like, well, it make no sense. You're not gonna play in NHL anyway, so they don't see the academic opportunity out of it. But if you have that player that looking to come here, they have all the tool to be successful at it. It like I said earlier in that chat, it may not be sexy enough to play like in major junior or USHL, but come here, get your education, and get like the time of your life playing
Life
hockey.
experience, yeah.
So it's what it is. Plus, the goal is to get your academic anyway.
Yeah.
Like just choose the right organization, and you're gonna have the time of your life, period.
Yeah. And I know that they're going to have to get over this financial thing of it costs money versus, you know, university in Sweden is quote unquote free, versus what you have to pay in college. So you have to figure that out. I did.
Yeah, no, that's a factor for sure. But for us, you know, just to mention it again, we're a nonprofit organization. You know, as soon like for an example, right now the contract for 24-25 are ready, and we can have like a payment plan to ease you know the family with all they have to pay really. But with all we're offering, we're really on the low side and not the high side. So, but it's a pride as well.
I have my dog snoring in the background here. If you hear something growling, it's my
It's not the French Canadian, it's the
he's
dog
not the
there.
French Canadian. He's enjoying he's not enjoying this podcast, I guess I could but awesome. So what's the best way that so do you then get a lot of inquiries from the European player and their family directly, or do you go through a advisor typically, or is it both?
Well, I mean, I like to contact the family myself and directly and work with my, you know, my people, advisor, the people I trust, you know, I like to call them friend as well. You know, it's more than business. I think we need to connect humanly to advance the right player, not just to think about the dollar sign always. There's so many like advisor out there that doesn't do their job, but yeah, I like to talk to the family directly, and then you know, having Zoom meeting and informative, you know, about our program and what we can do, and especially the main question is, what's your ambition? What you're looking for? What's your plan? What's your goal? Because it's nice to fill out a roster spot, but if you don't, if we don't know what you, who you are, and what you want, what can we do for you? So the communication and full transparency with every individual we have in our locker room is a must for us, and this is why we have so much success with who we recruit so far.
So let's put a plug in here. It's pretty easy to find Hershey Cubs, which is just HersheyCubs.com. That's the website. And if you it's amazing too, when you go to a lot of clubs, you don't have contact information. Pretty easy to find yours. Yours is P-L at HersheyCubs.com.
Yeah.
So if I'm a player in Europe, I may be done with my, I may be an 04. That is done with my eligibility in Sweden, and they want to come over here. Or they may be an 05 that is, let's
We can
see.
have 07 to 04 this season. You know, we could go as young as 08, but I like them to have done their grade 12 before like coming in. But yeah, I mean, 04, 07 this season.
But it could also be that there's an 08 or an 09 that says, hey, I heard about this thing about, or they've been, hey.
Yeah, we
You
can
can start
connect
having
on
the
that.
conversation
For
about, you
sure.
know, you start laying the foundation,
Oh yeah.
but what happens when they reach out? What should they be in their email to you, or if they make a phone call, because your cell number's on there?
Well, yeah, my phone number is pretty much you know, like it's on the you know, it's not the first option to contact me. Email I prefer, otherwise it
Email's
comes through
probably
maybe two
better.
seconds. But yeah, no, I think you know, you present yourself with your ambition, what you're looking for, why you want to come to our program in the United States. You must have a reason why, right? So for sure, and from there, you know, with the technology nowadays, being in 2024, we have all the video in the world, all the stats in the world. We can track every legal little movement you can do. And I'm gonna put that out there, and like our player knows about that, but like we're gonna go through like social media. So hockey player, be careful with your social media anyway. You know, you never know how it can turns out. But yeah, it's something we're gonna look into it because we want to make sure we're not bringing any toxicity or any like egocentric or problem to our team. And we have a community to respect and a program to grow. So this is how we're gonna make our selection.
And I think that for the ones that are listening, I think that being prepared about, you know, they're going to want to know, well, who are you? Where have you played? Do you have video? You can always go get it, but it's so nice to be able to say, shoot me a 2-minute video that you put together. It doesn't have to be necessarily the best. If you can make it where it's not all a highlight reel, but who is this player? Because you want to find, as a player, you want to find the right fit, right?
Right.
But I think it's important to go back to this Plinko analogy of be on the put your disc in there,
For
meaning
sure.
go out here and make the inquiry if you're interested in coming over, inquiry, be curious. There's people like you that are going to take that call and look at that email and having the conversation. The rest, you also have the ability to help them with billeting, cost,
Course.
immigration, school, all that kind of stuff kind of comes secondary, but they need to take that initiative of reaching out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And and for me on my side as well, just to I know the league and up. I haven't been able like to travel as much as I want, but I am able to read profile as well as working with video and so on. But yeah, with the family to have that that support and that push to get in the right direction. While experiencing the North American system and getting their academic, I think we're here to do that. And just following that, we are playing in the same building as the NCAA D3 Lebanon Valley. So at the end of the hallway, we have like the head coach and manager of that NCAA program as well. So we have direct connection there, plus every many plenty others. But yeah, it's their support and school and everything is real for us.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Let's wrap up. And we have two things. Number one, you met yourself at 17. What advice would you give yourself, things you know now that you didn't know back then, that you would say, hey, PL, let me wrap my arm around you and say, let me give you this advice.
At 17, that's a really, really tough one and good one at the same time. Honestly, I think just keep going, believe in yourself. And I think I had some time while I was a younger adult that I wasn't sure of me, but always believe in yourself because despite the noise, it's gonna work. So never quit on yourself. I never did quit, but I had some tough patch there. But yeah. To keep going is the key, I think.
Yeah, great. Well, last thing, we have a partnership. This is not necessarily huge in North America yet, but we have a partnership with targetaid.com, which is a fundraising platform in based in Stockholm, and we help them. We've been working with them. This was kind of year two. We said, well, how can we do something good? And helping a lot of these organizations with content. And so we created this segment, which every guest can say the team in my heart, and identify what that team is, and then they are placed on Target Aids under my under the Swedish junior hockey platform under Target Aid, and every guest is going to be on there, and you can click on that, and then the team itself can then partner up with, hey, we have Pierre-Luc here who's been identifying this, our team, as the team in their heart. So which one is it for you?
Well, for me, at the start with the All Olympic, so it's going to be the All Olympic now called the Gatineau Olympic. And if I have to target a special edition, the 96 97 when they won the Memorial Cup, it was a really special one. So, yeah, the All Olympics.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for coming on. This has been educational for those who want to know more about USPHL. Premier, talked a little bit about Verbero since we had a connection there. Appreciate you doing that. And if you have interest in reaching out to PL, just go to Hershey Cubs, not Hershey Bears, HersheyCubs.com and look them up. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jacob.